In shloka number 8, Lakshmidhar Kavi explained that na deha na indriyam na chaham na pranaha na manaha na dhiyaha. So I am none of the equipment, gross or subtle body. So I am none of that. And two reasons for that. Very simple and straightforward. Because all of these things, our, just to say our, you know, defines that it is belonging to me and not me. So mamata parirabdhatva, my body. I say it is mine. I don't say I body. So that is the notion we keep with all these equipment. And we say this. We don't say I, we don't say this. Many times we refer to the body, we say this body. But I, we never make it this, because the moment you say it is this, you make it inert, you make it separated from that livelihood. You separate it from your own self. So therefore, two things, just by their mere context, just by how we transact with them, should be proof enough for us that that is not me. So I'm not the body, not the senses, not the prana, not the mind, and not the buddhi. So then the argument was, why not, let's just take the self to be the ego. Because ego, you never say as my ego. We always say I. That is the very definition of ego. Ahankartruhu ahankar. So that which always is I. That is ahankar. And there is no thisness also involved with it. So why can't I say that the self is this ego? And then shloka number 9 explains why that is not true. Because wherever there is ego, there is parinama. There's a change, modification. There's a paricheda, limitation. Ego makes us feel, I'm constrained by this. I can only do this, but I cannot do that. And parita, afflicted by dukkha. So ego, when it is there, keeps us always in this transactions. But I, the self, is true nature, is sakshi. I'm the witness. So when I say I'm the witness, there is no change, there is no modification within me. Because witness, if changes, then who is witnessing the witness's change? Right? If the one who was witnessing, that person alone changed, then how reliable is that witness? Therefore, witness has to be steady, cannot be changing. And when it is a witness, it doesn't get involved in the transaction. So there is no dukkha associated with it. There are no afflictions. So preya, preyan, the nature of this self, this witness is, is the most dear. I love myself. This is experience enough. I don't need any other logic. That experience itself is a good logic for me to let me know that I'm the sakshi. And the self has no limitation. Sarvanvitaha permeates through all thoughts, permeates even through the I thought, the ahankar thought. Permeates means what? That it illumines the I thought, and then the ego is able to say, I. Ego's job is to say, I. And then by associating with something, it then carries on the function. So if the ego is associated with the body, then the ego says, I am the body. So it did the I, and then associated with the body, it called itself body. But Sakshi is pervading through that thought that even before ego could go and permeate the body, or ego can go and touch and attach with the body, the Sakshi has to illumine that I. The Sakshi has to allow the I to be revealed. Then only the I can go ahead and say other things. I am the body, I need this, I need that. So it is more pervasive than ego. So sarvanvita, it pervades through everything. Therefore, that is my nature. Na aham, and not ego. Then the question comes, this is the question that, I don't know if we saw it, but the question is raised by Swayam Prakash Yatiji. Then what is the difference between the two? Meaning, between the two, Sakshi and ego, that even though both are separate, it is experienced as one. Why is it that people are not able to experience these two separately if they are indeed separate? This is the question Swayam Prakash Yatiji raises. Because we are seeing that ego is completely opposite to the Atman. And if they are completely opposite and different, why is it that the person is not able to recognize? So then he gives an example for why. So Swayam Prakash Yatiji says, it is like tapta ayah pinda. So like how heated iron, tapta aya, heated iron, so an iron ball. Pinda means ball, round shape. So how that cold, dark iron ball merges with the fire and is now seen as a ball of fire. There is no ball of fire, but it took that property of light, it took the property of heat from the fire and is now seen that. Now, I think in shloka number 7, we kind of talked about the relationship of tadatmya. So this relation here, although it is shown that ahankar and sakshi is like the tadatmya relationship, but that is not true. There is no tadatmya here between atma and ego, because atma is a superimposition only on the ego. They are never touching each other. Here the fire is actually touching the iron bomb. There's a contact here. How can that which is real come in contact with that as is unreal. Ego is unreal. And Atma is real. So that which is unreal cannot come in contact with real. But fire is transactional and iron ball is also transactional. So therefore, when they come together, they can create the tadatma relationship. So here, with Ahankar and with Sakshi, the relationship still is of superimposition, but somewhat like that is their connection. That the Sakshi seems to be enveloped by the samsaric feelings, the ups and downs of the ego. Because both are very close to each other. Sakshi and ego are very close to each other. So therefore, it may seem that the Sakshi is going through such transaction, but indeed it is not. So now, this further idea is developed with the next shloka. There has to be a difference now created between Ahankar and Sakshi. It becomes necessary because this objection has been raised is, if you say the samsara, if you say, I am not the ego and I am the Sakshi, then Sakshi is in connection with ego only. So if it is in connection with ego, then how can you say this Sakshi is eternally liberated, nitya mukta? Brahman, one definition of Brahman we say is nitya mukta. That is how we address, you know, Puja Gurudev also, right? Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupaha. Of the nature of eternal liberation, pure, and all new. That's the nature of Brahman. So Nitya Mukta is Brahman. Eternally liberated, ever free. But the way that we just described, that Sakshi is intertwined with ego, and the moment you say it is intertwined, it means it is bound. Wherever ego is, Sakshi has to be there. That is really the definition of witness. How can you say you are a witness, but you didn't witness anything? The moment you say you are a witness, you're tied to whatever you have witnessed. Whatever was there that you had seen, you're already tied to that. So the objection Swayam Prakashiti ji raises is this, that the samsara, the realm of transaction, you cannot simply say only belongs to ego and not to Sakshi, to Atma. The realm of samsara has to belong to both equally, because Sakshi also is part of the samsara only. There is no witness if there is no ego, because the ego exists, Sakshi exists. So there is this connection here. And there is no proof, pramana, means of knowledge is not there that simply says that samsara belongs directly to ego. there's nothing in this creation that says samsara belongs to ego alone. Because ego and sakshi are both coexisting. So how can you just say that the samsara belongs to ego and nothing has to do with sakshi? So now, in order to clarify this doubt, by showing the proof, by giving the means of knowledge through which we can say samsara definitely belongs to ego and not to sakshi. Knowledge-wise, we know that samsara belongs to the jiva. When we say ego, ego is basically the jiva only. So samsara belongs to jiva and not to atma. We know this. But what is the proof that samsara belongs to jiva only and not to sakshi? How can you prove that? That is the important part. So the only way to prove is follow the ego and see what you get. And when you don't have ego, then what do you get? This process is called anvaya vyatireka. Anvaya means you follow along. Wherever this is found. And vyatireka is wherever it is not found. Wherever teachers are, children are quiet. And wherever teacher is not, there is a lot of noise in that classroom. We see that in Balakrishna. So that is anvaya vyatireka. You don't even have to go into the classroom. Just from outside listening, you can know that there is no teacher in the class. Because if teacher were there, children would have been quiet. This is the process of anvaya vyatireka. So here, that is what Lakshmidhar Kavi is taking up next. Follow where the ego is. You will find its properties. Where you don't find ego, you also don't find its properties. Okay, let's see the shloka. Supteha drishyante. Dukkha dosha pravrittayah atastasyaiva samsarah name samsartra sakshinah Teha drishyante dukkha dosha pravrittayah atastasyaiva samsarah name samsartra sakshinah. Some of these proofs are really very basic. It makes us think, why is that even necessary for such discussion? But then again, it is so subtle that we don't think about it that way. We are always in contact with the body. But we never think about it that body is mine and not me. Unless the scriptures points it out. I had never came across it with that outlook. That whatever I say is me is not, or whatever I say is mine is not me. Although it is ever evident, it is in our transaction at all times. Likewise, all these examples have these logic is presented by Lakshmidhar Kavi. Very simple. But unless and until we see and analyze the idea, it doesn't register with us. Okay, so here is the very simple logic. Ahami supte. Ahami ahankare. Saptam. So in seventh. So when we use the seventh case, what it is saying is when ahankara supta goes to sleep. So when ahankara goes to sleep means during the deep sleep state. Dukkha dosha pravrittayaha na drishyante. So ahami supte dukkha dosha pravrittayaha na drishyante. What it is saying is that when the ego goes to sleep, the sorrow that was felt during the waking and dream state, because of the presence of ego, that sorrow is not felt in deep sleep state. It is true. If I feel sorrow when I'm sleeping, then I say I did not have a good sleep. It is very logical. I had a nightmare, or I kept thinking about something. Something was in my mind and that got me up. So that is the ego. Wherever ego was present, dukkha will be there. And dosha. Dosha means raga, dvesha. So faults like that. Our likes, our dislikes, they cause so many mistakes to happen by us. So these types of ideas are only found with ego. I wanted to do this, so I went ahead and jumped in. But then I realized I made a mistake. That is dosha. And also pravritti. Pravritti, the getting it into action. Taking the next step forward is to putting that into an action. That is also affected by ego alone. So when in deep sleep, these sorrows, faults, and actions are not seen. And therefore, ataha tasyaiva samsara. Therefore, one can say that samsara belongs to ego. What is samsara? Samsara is samyak sarati iti samsara. That which moves very well. One time there is sorrow, another time there is joy. One time there is dosha, one time there is guna. Something good is happening, something bad is happening. So these changes are the movement of samsara, and they are felt only when ego is there. So ataha tasya ahankarasya. Of that ego, samsara. Na me samsartru. And not me, who is the atma, the self, the sakshi, because I am samsartruhu sakshinaha. I am the witness of the samsara. I am the one watching this change happen. So the point is, when ego goes to sleep, samsara is not there. And when ego is awake, samsara is found. This is the notion. Now, Swayam Prakashati ji gives the same idea as he was carrying on in shloka number 9, that why is it that we are making this mistake of seeing samsara for sakshi or for the sakshi? Is because the transposition, we are associating one's property to something else. So the property of the sakshi is attributed to ego, and ego's property is attributed to sakshi. And there he gives this example, yatha dahakattum agni. Wherever there is smoke, burning, fire has to be there. There is no burning without fire. So you associate the effects of something to its cause. The direct cause for the smoke is fire. So without fire, smoke cannot come. And the second example Swayam Prakashati ji gives is Raktima Japa Kusuma. That's what he called. Raktima means red. Japa, kusum, means red flower. Japa means that which is born from water. So lotus. So red lotus, when it is associated with spatika, with a crystal. Crystal is not red, but crystal changes the color to red. So it has just borrowed that property, but it has not connected also, touched also. In the previous example of ayaha and fire, the iron ball and the fire, both have to come and touch each other in order to create that illusion of the fireball. But here, the red crystal doesn't even have to come and touch the flower. Not red crystal, crystal. Crystal itself doesn't have to come and touch the flower. You just keep the crystal, keep the flower close to that crystal ball, the color changes. Proximity. Therefore, the idea is that the dharma of the ego is seen in the waking and deep sleep state, but it is not seen in, waking and dream state, but it is not seen in deep sleep state. Therefore, samsara has to belong to the ego. Well, what happens to this ego during deep sleep state? So in deep sleep state, the ego goes into its causal state. Ego is no longer transacting. And because it is no longer transacting, the only thing that is present is the sakshi, and the sakshi is witnessing the silence of the ego. So sakshi is continuing to witness, but there is no activity. That's all. And then Swayam Prakashati ji, like his style, he says, I am not getting this out of my own accord. I am quoting Sarvajnatma Muni. So he quotes from Sarvajnatma Muni that Kartradi Sannidhi Balena Tavapi Kartru Bhoktru Pramatru Vapura Patati Pramena Tadbuddhi Samshrayam Anatmagatam Pratichi Shuddhepi Pashyati Tamah Patala Vrutakshaha. So there's not, maybe it is, there's a meter there, but I didn't catch it. So Kartru Adi Sannidhi Balena. Kartradi. So Kartradi means doership. So this association, Sannidhi Balena, by the power of coming in closer to this doer, the ego. Tavapi, yours also, meaning you, the Atma, also are seen as Kartruhu, as a doer. Bhoktruhu, enjoyer. And Pramatruhu. So, Kartru, Bhoktruhu, Pramatru is knower, one who is knowing. So doing, consuming, enjoying, and knowing. And this is all by Brahmana, by delusion. So due to delusion, we see all of these doership, enjoyership, etc. Tad buddhi samshrayam anatmagatam pratichi. Pratichi, in that self, tad buddhi samshrayam anatmagatam. Anatmagatam, I am not the self. That type of understanding in the self, shuddhepi, even though the self is pure, pashyati, sees. So he sees, even though the self is pure, sees an atma, sees the self as inert, sees the self as changing, sees the self with dukkha, dosha, pravrittaya. Like how? Then he gives an example. Tamaha patala vritakshaha. Kshaha, eyes. Avrita, covered. Patala, cloth. Tamaha, darkness. So like how the cloth covers the eyes, and we are now able to say that I can't see anything. Everything is dark. Is everything really dark? Did you lose the sight, the ability to see, just because the blinds have been covered? But it makes us feel like that. That I'm blind. In that same way, the ignorance is blinding us about our knowledge of the self, and therefore we say, I don't know myself. Or therefore we say, I am this ego and not the sakshi. So in this way, the presentation is done to show ahankara and sakshi are two different things. wherever we find ahankara, there you will find faults, there you will find these problems. And wherever you don't find ahankara, you don't have these problems. But any questions, comments, doubts?
So, Dhiriji, if you take the example of the fire, like iron ball and fire, they take each other's property, right? The iron ball takes the property of fire, and then the fire becomes round. Fire does not have a shape, but it becomes round. Yes. So, is that example used here, or it is not used?
No, that example is not used in number 10. In number 10, he shows that such contact is not there also. When fire happens, the smoke comes. So it is showing the idea of presence of one shows the presence of the others. That is the example he used with Dahaka and Agni. So Dahakatva means the burning. And burning here is giving the idea of smoke. Fire is there, then only smoke is there. No fire, no smoke. One idea. And the second idea is that it is like the red rose or red lotus and crystal ball. So they don't come in contact with each other, yet superimposition has happened. The anvaya part is that wherever ego is, so ego is where? In waking and in dream state. So in waking and only in dream state, we find sorrows, raga dvesha, and different types of pravritti. In deep sleep state, there is no dukkha, there is no raga dvesha, and there is no action. And also in deep sleep state, we don't find ahankar, we don't find the I. That is a convincing enough proof that the samsara belongs to this ego. I found the culprit. Who is causing me this problem? That is this ego.
So, Dhirenji, with the fireball, we are talking about the deep sleep that you don't have a kind of, you have there, but you don't feel it, the samsara. But with the other example, we are thinking that it's the imposition is there. So, it's just the world we are seeing that those two are separate. Because it's a superimposition, because in the like dream sleep, in the Jagrat Avastha and Sushupti, you still can feel those distinction there. but that the fireball, and that's the deep sleep state we are talking about, because then there is ego is no more there, because then they become just one. There is no distinction there.
The fireball example and the iron is to show that one's property has been superimposed on the other to make the other feel that they're bound. Sakshi is seen as being bound because the property of the ego, the limitations of the ego, are superimposed on the Sakshi. And just as how the fire is superimposed on the eye. So there the purpose of the example is to show that one is seen limited.
Okay.
In shloka number 9. That is the purpose. In shloka number 10, now the purpose is to show that this inert thing is really able to do something only because of the power of the sentient. And the effects of this inert are seen when it is present, and when it is not present, they are not seen. And ego is not seen in deep sleep, but it is seen in waking and dreams. So slight change in the example also is there. And it's appropriate only to make the change, because an example only is meant to prove one aspect of the concept. An example will never replace the entirety of the concept, because if it did that, I mean, there is no perfect example. Only reality is the perfection. Shall we look at the next shloka? So having now explained that Sakshi and ego are two separate, the samsara belongs to ego and not the Sakshi, then Swayam Prakashita ji brings in a very nice concept to tie in the next shloka, which is shloka number 1. And the concept here is this: hold on. If you say that the samsara belongs to ego and not the Sakshi, then you have to agree that Sakshi, the deep sleep, belongs to Sakshi. Because you only said right now that in deep sleep, ego is not there. But Sakshi is there, Atma is there. So if Atma is there in deep sleep, and ego is not there in deep sleep, then you also have to agree that waking state and dream state also belongs to Atma. Okay. You're getting the idea. The question is saying, like, this is the twisted way of thinking. How to take a very nice thought and then twisting it around, convoluting it to make it seem this confusion is created. How is it possible then to say that Jagrat, the waking, and dream state doesn't belong to Atma, and it only belongs to ego? Because you only said ego is not there in deep sleep state, and Sakshi is there, Atma is there. So Atma also should own up to waking and dream state, because it doesn't make sense to own up to one state and not to the other two, because all three states are belonging to one entity. You cannot say it belong, portion of it belongs to one person and portion of it belongs to another. You can't do that. So whoever is getting one has to get all three. So now, in order to remove this doubt and to prove that all the three states belongs to ego only, and in deep sleep state, the ego has not, ego has not gone away. We don't say ego does not exist. Ego is existing in deep sleep, but it is existing in its causal state. And because it exists in its causal state, we can't see the ego. This next shloka is going to talk about this. Before we see the shloka, just one illustration. We have seen it many times also. Is, you know, if I did this, if I showed my hand like this, right? And like this, you're able to see the light here. Right? You're able to see the light here. If I move it a little closer, you're able to see the light here. So there is light here also, there is light here also. Right? If I remove my hand, do you see light here? Or do you see light here? The space is not revealing the light anymore. But if I put my hand in between, you're able to see the light. You're able to see the dance. This is the play of the ego. When ego presents itself, whatever is bouncing off of the ego, that is what is illumined. Meaning, whatever has been coming under the embrace of ego, whatever ego goes and says, I, that I gets lighted by this light of consciousness. And because it gets lighted by the light of consciousness, we are able to see what is happening. But ultimately, in reality, everything is the light of consciousness. And when you remove that ego from that play, nothing gets lighted. And the fact that nothing gets lighted also reveals that there is something that is telling nothing is there. How do you know there is nothing there? Right? You were told to go and find something in your room. And you went and you searched, then only you could tell that nothing was there. Without searching, how can you say nothing was there? So the fact that I am saying nothing is there in deep sleep tells that something is telling nothing is there in deep sleep. Who is that something that is telling nothing is there? That is me. Yeah. This is the thought process. Let's just chant the shloka for today and then we'll see the meaning and everything next time. Supta suptim na janati. Na supte swapna jagarau. Jagrat swapna sushupti naam. Sakshato hamataddashah. Supta suptim na janati. Na supte swapna jagarau. Jagrat swapna sushupti. Tinam sakshato hamataddashah. Okay, so the meaning and the explanation of this we'll see next time. And also next time I will go through those three ideas or the shlokas that we haven't covered. You know, what is the pratignya? Then what is the hetu? And what is the udaharana? So those three things for the shlokas that we haven't seen, we'll go through those as well. So we get an idea of the other shlokas. And it is a good revision also of the other shlokas. Okay, let's do the prayer and we can continue. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.